You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Mobile operator Cell C reported an interim net loss after tax of 7.6 billion rand today, but said this was mainly the result of once-off costs and adjustments and that stripping these out, normalized earnings actually grew by 64% to 1.8 billion rand. The net loss after tax figure includes impairments to the value of 5 billion rand. And if you look at the net loss after tax in the prior period in 2019, that was at 875 million. At the same time, it is shedding customers strategically, it says. In the first half of 2020, it lost 28% of its combined subscriber base and 35% of its prepaid users. And it's also currently in an informal debt standstill with current terms on hold while debt is restructured as part of a recapitalization, a very complex process that is ongoing and I believe a term sheet phase at the moment. I've got CEO Douglas Craigie Stevenson on the line. Douglas, welcome. You said that despite all of this, you're still happy with the progress that you're making in this turnaround and believe you're on track. How can more swinging losses and declining customers and debt defaults equal being on track?
A very, very good question, Michael. Okay, so I think the most important thing to understand is that let's just look at things like the defaults and some of the Standard & Poor's stuff that's gone out. One must remember that when we went into a debt standstill, informal one, we sat with a situation where de facto we would default because we weren't going to pay them back at that particular time. The initial recap that was done was one where we didn't address the debt issue properly. The debt stack was way too high for what was able to be serviced. That's the first part of it. So that would deal with sort of the debt and the balance sheet. But to say that we're on track, I think you need to have a look at it slightly different. If you have a look at what we did with regards to the MTN roaming agreement and what we wanted to do to move away from a capital expenditure model, what we effectively said was that we can never compete with the incumbent operators that need to be spending 5, 7 billion a year in capex. So there would be no point in trying to gear something up with even more debt for an asset that's not going to give you a return. So we had to right-size this business, and that was the four pillars of the strategy. So if I go and have a look at the 7.5 billion, those are non-cash flow movements. So what we've effectively had to do between this period and the last period, we've written off close to 9 billion of network assets as required by IFRS to impair them in order to start the migration into the MTN Phase 2 agreement. So those will be the first part of that. If you then go and take the interest cost and the forex losses, that makes up another further sort of 1 billion. That would then effectively bring you back to a normalized EBIT number because the recap will deal with that after the recap has been finalized. So if you go and look at the core trading position underneath that and we say almost on a pro forma basis, what would the business look like? That's the result that you're then getting. Stabilization of margins and increase in the growth rates, the EBITDA coming back to normal, and the fact that at an EBIT level, we've actually had an 80% growth. So that is what I'm looking at.
And on the operational performance of the business, despite the fact that you have right-sized your customer base, as you call it, you say you're targeting a better quality mix of customer. It's not just about counting SIM cards and that. I mean, one can understand that you can have a million SIM cards and only 5 or 10% of those delivering a decent ARPU number. If you look at your ARPU, your average revenue per user, 66 Rand, now exactly equal to the last number that was reported by Telkom for its prepaid mobile business, still well below the 80 Rand for MTN, but not much above the 64 reported by Vodacom. Just talk to me about the strategy of right-sizing customers, because some cynics out there might be saying that it's because you've raised prices and cut promotions, which makes you slightly less competitive.
Okay, so to answer that, the first thing that we had to do was we had to get rid of a little bit of the legacy that was again in the system. A couple of years back, there was very much a view in the market that the more customers you get, the more money you're going to make, and that is simply not true. So the promotions were very rich, the market was very competitive, especially with Telkom in the market as well. And so we had to find that balance between, you know, where the right price point is. We actually, if you go and have a look at the pricing, still at a price discount to the major networks, slightly, and more or less on a par with Telkom. So I don't think we're uncompetitive with that or with that. What's also in the customer base that needs to come out is a lot of the customers that were on there that were in the wholesale business. So I previously had deals where the view was we had a sunk cost in the network, therefore put a customer on at any cost. There was also the story that we were exiting the broadband market, which was in fact was not true. What it was poorly designed product offerings that weren't talking to making any kind of a yield whatsoever or attractive. You will see that you've gone into the market recently with an all-in-one bundle offering, which is much more suitable and evenly pitched towards both the benefit of the customer and towards the benefit of the network. And that's what we're trying to do. What's also important to understand is that I believe we've hit the bottom at the end of May with Blue Label's reported numbers. We were at around 11.5 million subscribers. We came in now at 11.8, and I can comfortably tell you we've surpassed the 12 million mark and are continuing on an upward trend with both revenue and customer growth towards the third quarter result of September. So I believe that we're well positioned to start looking at where we can go with offering the right product mixes to the right customers and getting out of the SIM washing machine, where it's also incredibly expensive to go and take resources to go and acquire a customer as well that you're not going to be able to use, where you could give that to the customer in another form.
And it was very well articulated in the presentation, the SIM card washing machine, that analogy for the relentless chasing of subscribers for no value. The other core area that you've decided to pursue strategically on the operational side is obviously, as you've articulated, not spending on the kind of capex that the incumbents like Vodacom and MTN do on developing your network, but rather doing these roaming deals and agreements. How does that then feed into network quality? I mean, how much control would you then have over delivering that kind of service?
So what's important to understand is in the presentation I did this afternoon, I put up a slide to show the difference between an MNO and an MVNO or a super MVNO, which is what we are not. So we still control quality of service over the network. We still control our number ranges. We control our spectrum use and every single other part. It's only the physical equipment of the radio access network that we no longer use. And it's important for us to be able to get a better quality offering, because one of the things when you're CapEx staffed as a network is you've got to support equipment on multiple bearers, 2, 3, 4G, and then going into 5, which we'd never be able to compete in. The other thing is that in a roaming previously, it was a case of roam while you built your own network, which is not something that's sustainable at the end of the day. So the model going forward is going to say, from my perspective, is that you're going to have two wholesale infrastructure providers, namely Vodacom and MTN, and potentially the WOAN now that they get in spectrum. And we must be a taker of that wholesale capacity. And the better we take wholesale capacity, the bigger bulk we can aggregate, the better we can negotiate for everybody. And that's how we see it.
You also had a very interesting slide with your thoughts on the spectrum auction, which obviously everyone's talking about at the moment. You said you're an interested party under the right conditions. What are those conditions?
Well, the first thing is obviously there can't be a barrier because of a massive capital expenditure bill. So you can't just have a deep pocket, because that's really just going to make Vodacom and MTN the only two players. Telkom has gone and suspended dividend payments because they say they need to save up the spectrum. And I'm saying to the government, to ICASA, to Comcom, listen, give me different conditions for it. Give me a plan to pay it back. Let me pay it on use it. But I, as an owner of spectrum, the current spectrum I have, and to be able to get hold of more spectrum, allows me to pursue my model in a better way. It's almost like you've got two parts of it. If you looked at the WOAN will have spectrum but without towers because they need to build. So we've got a similar type of a model. So what we're saying is that you can have a very nice collaborative model between spectrum and an actual physical infrastructure asset, especially as we go into the 5G space as well. So I think it's a natural place to be at, and it's not going to be competitive to make such a high barrier to entry to only certain parties to be able to get a hold of spectrum. But I will have to have that conversation, as Duncan put it out today, with some parties. But I certainly believe we shouldn't be blocked from being able to access spectrum. Mm.
And turning now to the balance sheet issue, it's obviously the elephant in the room as well. Yeah, principal short-term debt now at about 9.7 billion. Total liabilities standing at just over 23 billion. Your assets were 7.7 billion. So one can see the situation there. What's your plan to repair the balance sheet? You did say that negotiations are multi-party, ongoing, Blue Label, and Brett Levy saying that he's confident that it will be concluded soon. What timelines have you committed to lenders in order to deliver on all of these plans?
So look, in terms of the timelines, we're hoping it's going to still take place in this year. It has been dragging on for a while, the recap, you know, so it's difficult for me as the operational management to comment on the shareholder issues. But we have got term sheets out there now for it, and I think there is an understanding of the urgency to get this over. The recap obviously will deal with the debt in a way that leaves us with a sustainable debt stack that can be serviced by the business plan that we've put together to support that. But it is very clear that we need to be at a debt level that can allow us to have a small amount of capital expenditure, which would be in platforms and the like, and then obviously to be able to service the debt over time.
Service the debt and obviously repay shareholders as well.
Of course.
Stelcy CEO Douglas Craigie-Stevenson, thanks so much for your time.